today.
All right. Damn, wasn't it pretty?
I mean, when I'm a Windows person, but yes Macs.
That's okay. I'm a Mac person. My husband's a PC person.
Oh, okay.
We're covered.
not a problem. Okay. This is all pretty much generic stuff I'll be talking about. However, the big difference is the connectors, obviously. Cables, connectors, and adapters, which is a big part of what we're going to talk about, will be different for Macs. So, I don't know the names of those, unfortunately, so that part will be, but the idea is the same, you know.
Get all my screens going. Roy, we don't officially start for another 15 minutes. So,
I knew I was a little early.
Okay.
So that's fine. I can draw the coffee. Not a biggie.
So I plug that in my USB port.
What about it? No. This is just the file. Another one. My main presentation. What I'm going to be talking about. If you want the, for some reason you wanted the full document, that's on
there. Yeah,
so you can download it.
There's not enough power in the USB port, that's the problem.
Yeah. If I had to go to the magic
Well, I mean, what I'm going to be talking about, that's the USB port is not fully involved.
there's a lot of ways to do this. A ton of ways. We don't have near enough time to go over all of them.
Not a lot.
You'll get an idea of the basics of what's needed for streaming.
You are now.
How did I go online to get that?
Oh, you can get it right here.
I don't have
That's on the that's my four. That's my email. If you want this, just write your name. Give me your email address, and I can email it. Otherwise, you'd have to join the forum. And
gracias.
Could I give you my email also?
Or email me. See, my email address is on this form.
Yeah.
So if you want it, you can just email me. The forum that's on here. I mean, I brought it in case, but it's easier just to email me. That's why I put that on.
Roy, I'll just do a quick introduction. We're actually already streaming.
Probably.
And we're going to record this for posterity. We put it up on our website.
I have change in my
Ewing?
Is that Ewing?
Ewing. Ewing.
So you decided to show up here, huh?
Yeah,
how you doing?
Good.
Everything okay?
Well, yeah.
How much longer are you going to be here before you head back?
Oh, not till May.
May, okay.
Unless we get tired of not being able to watch television.
Were you one of those that got, got cut off?
We got cut off.
Oh, you know there's a solution. Been there and done that, haven't you?
Yeah, I got to find out. Our road crew, we've been watching the US TV now.
Right.
Their problem is it's all these codes.
Where in the
world? You need a real computer?
I thought you had a
computer. The woman who worked on the road
I don't remember, but it was funny because we were beating them up. I remember what it was. I was complaining about iMovie because I was trying to upload videos from Riscata, from the melodrama, and iMovie was so much more than it needed to be for what I wanted to do. It was slow and cumbersome and frustrating. And you know what I finally did? I finally installed Picasso and got exactly the experience that iMovie used to give me. But it was ironic because I hadn't bashed on Macintosh like that for a long time. Well, we're almost ready to go here. Hey, don't autocorrect. That's a web address, damn it. Just do what I want you to do. Just think for me. It's still doing it. Or I guess I mean don't think for me. Think for me when I want you to think for me, and don't think for me when I don't want you
to.
There we go. We're gonna Dan Club now. Special guest Roy Ewing.
Ewing.
Ewing. I'm gonna get that wrong. I'm sorry, Roy. Anybody listening right now? I'm gonna put all this on the podcast anyway, so you'll know I've been getting it wrong this whole time. I did that last time when Chava was here. I kept pronouncing his name wrong. Oh, I'm such a jerk.
Anybody need a summary? I may not have printed out enough here. Well, let's see. Share that one if you would. It's just a summary of what I'm talking about. The full thing will be online if you're... Who here is a member of the forum? Of the TV, Tech SOB forum? Got a couple. Anyway, okay.
Share. Turn off my bells and whistles.
Yeah, everybody please turn off their cell phones.
We're so organized. We're 10 minutes early. We're so organized. Nobody's used to me showing up this early. I just didn't have to drop off my daughter this morning, so I had this extra time.
They had school today, don't they?
Yeah.
They didn't have school yesterday.
No, they didn't.
They didn't go to the beach party yesterday. We had a lovely beach party on campus.
That's funny. You know, we were actually out at the other beach. We were out at Algodones.
Oh, they had, and I was really amazed because they had all these canopies up. Only Coca-Cola.
Only Coca-Cola.
No beers at all.
Mm. That is interesting that there wouldn't be a Tecate song out there or Modelo song. That's cool. Who was putting that party on?
I don't have any idea. I know it's simply nice.
What was the holiday anyway?
So one,
I thought it was funny. I mean, the trash was running, but the banks were closed.
No, it was a bank. Technically, it's a bank.
Just
holiday.
A bank holiday. Bank.
Hey, Charlie.
Roy, if you don't mind, I'm going to take a picture of you with our club. I intended to do that when Yuya was with us and with Java as well, and I totally forgot about it at the time.
Let's have some red eye here. All right.
Well, do you think we should expect more people, or should we just get started?
We can get started.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If they show up disappointed, we can just say, we have full tables everywhere. We just felt like we needed to start.
Well, I'm Scott. If you're not familiar with who I am, I'm here at the Computer Club every Tuesday,
9:15 to 10:15, and we try and share tech topics that affect all of us here in San Carlos specifically.
So we try to share things of interest about software we've found that we think other people might find interesting. We try to help each other with their computer problems, their email problems, their VPN problems, their router problems. We're very unorganized. We don't have any real structure to this format. I do broadcast it live, so like right now, if you couldn't be with us, you could be tuning in to the website. That's sccclub.org. Otherwise, I also record it and post it as a podcast, and that can be found in iTunes under the San Carlos Computer Club, or it can also be found sitting at our website in sccclub.org. Today, Roy Ewing, I got it right, has joined us. Roy has made a name for himself in our community as having a good grasp of how to do TV over the internet, and recently a lot of people have lost TV through DirecTV here locally. And so we thought it would be great to invite Roy to join us and share some of his topics with us, because it looks like we're going to be using the internet for TV at least for the end of the season. So I'm going to hand it over to Roy and sit back and let him do his thing.
Well, good morning, everybody. Apologies to the folks behind you here. I'll do my best here. And now I realize that yeah, we're going to be this crowd here this morning. Okay. Well, the main subject of this meeting is how to stream TV, and even more importantly, perhaps, is how to connect your PC or your laptop to your computer. Now, in some cases, it's going to be really easy. In other cases, it may not be so easy. And the sources you use, there's a bunch. I mean, streaming TV through the internet, movies, and all of that can be easy, and it can be harder if, depending on what you want. If you want live sports, that may be a little tougher. For example, if you just want movies and stuff like that, you've got Netflix, you've got all of that stuff. But what we're going to do is go over starting with how to connect a laptop, a desktop, to your big screen or to an older TV. It's not all that hard. First of all, most desktops have what's called a VGA connector on the back. You're probably all familiar with that. It's just it's about a 20-pin connector. It'll look about that size, and it goes between your desktop computer and your monitor. Now, some of the newer televisions will have a VGA connector on the back. Older CRT types won't. You can forget the VGA connector on the back of a CRT TV. What will be on those is typically either S-Video, and you may have all, you know, that's that little round type connector. Most TVs, including the older CRTs, will have an S-Video. Now, desktops typically won't have an S-Video. I mean, what we've got to do is figure out what your computer has as an output and what your TV has as an input. You got to match those two things up, and then you're home free if you can do that easily.
Okay.
S-video is only video. There's no audio going through it. So if you use something like either the VGA connector or an S-video, you still got to get audio over to your TV out of your computer or your laptop. Most of them will have a little audio out jack. Either most laptops will have it, as well as most desktops will have an audio card. And it'll have three little jacks in the back. One will be audio in, one will be audio out, and the other is, let's see, what is the other one on the back?
Well, it could be anything from an alternate input to a digital audio output.
Yeah. I know I've typically seen three.
Yeah, three is very common. But the
third
one is up in the air.
The third one is, but you'll see that it'll be at least two. And those are all you need, but you have to string a separate cable. And again, most older TVs will have a little audio jack of some kind. Or when it gets right down to it, you've always got the old standby. The yellow, red, and white connection. Older laptops will have that. They'll have some sort of video out, but the newer ones probably won't have anything like this. But a desktop might. Now, if you don't have any of that, you can go to what's called the HDMI connector, which all newer laptops have. Desktops, most of the newer ones will have that connection.
When you say newer ones, how many?
Oh, the last 5 years.
Okay.
Is the operating system dependent on that?
Even older XP, if you have an XP Windows system, you can get an HDMI output for that kind of system. Usually, though, it's built in. In other words, the motherboard, it's built into the system. If it doesn't have that HDMI and you have a desktop, you can buy a plug-in board. They're all over. I mean, Amazon and Best Buy, and you'd even go down to probably Garcia's and buy something like that. If you don't have it, you get it, and plug it in. But those are only desktops, not laptops. You can't really fool with laptops. What's there is there. Now, HDMI, and by the way, this is all Windows-based stuff I'm talking about. If you have a Mac, I'm speaking gibberish when it comes to the connector types. They don't have the same format on a Mac that Windows has.
There's a little adapter going that long when you plug into that kind of cord.
And you can do it that way. And adapters are a big part of it. Believe me, and I've got some links that are available in the presentation, in the electronic, in the PDF file. There's some links that will take you to sites that are great for showing pictures of these adapters, connections between them. Do you need to go from one format to another? Those links are in that document, and they're really, really handy, as well as tutorials. Now, another thing, for example, here's an HDMI. Now this is just this is a newer kind of connection. It has audio and video in it. All these others I've showed you so far, the S-video and the VGA, typical VGA, does not have audio included. You need to run a separate cable.
That's the one that looks like a USB with a few little good corners.
Yes. Yeah. It looks like a USB, but it isn't. If you help, see, there's the difference. You can see the difference between an HDMI and a USB. The USB is square. It's a little rectangle. This has the beveled corners on it. All newer laptops, notebooks, ultrabooks will have an HDMI out if they're a Windows machine, and maybe even Apple, I don't know.
It's one of the advantages of having a smart TV, because I have this set up with my
Right, yeah. Newer flat screens will all have HDMI. They'll probably have two or three, or maybe more, depending on the model you get. So the ideal way
is to use an HDMI connection between whatever computing device you have and a newer TV. Okay, well, back to the, well, what if my TV doesn't have VGA, it doesn't have HDMI, it's an older CRT. Well, somehow you've got to get, it probably has these. The older, what's called, I mean, it's a composite signal, but it has the yellow is the video, and then the red and white are the left and right audio channels. But laptops nowadays, they don't have this. Even newer desktops won't have this. It'll have HDMI, and it may have what's called DVI. DVI, many of them that are 5 to, let's say, 6, 7 years old, might have a DVI. It's a digital video interface, but it doesn't have audio either. But many TVs of the older flat screen style will have a DVI. So here you've got this mishmash of connections out of your computer, another mishmash on the back of your TV. You got to hook them together. The one site that's on the in the document that you can get via email from me has a link to a site called svideo.com. Svideo, all one word, letter S, video.com, has an excellent selection and pictures showing you your outputs typical on a PC as well as your inputs on a TV. And then you click on that and it takes you right to their adapter cable that'll connect you. It's really a great site. If nothing else, to go see what the darn connectors look like, nice pictures, and then figure out how do I connect the two.
Did you say that the HDMI carries the audio?
Yes, yes, it does. It's the only type that really does of the newer stuff. S-Video doesn't, VGA doesn't, the HDMI does, and that is really becoming a standard of to connect the devices together. All right. And another thing, for an older and even newer computers, they will have what's called an RF input. RF is just, remember the channel 3, channel 4 thing? From the old VCR days? That's what it is. But, you know, again, that's a great input, but will your computer have it as an output? No, not typically, it won't have it. But again, if you got a desktop, there's cards with any of these connection types that I'm talking about. There are cards you can plug into a normal PC that have that. The only issue is, will the driver work for your Windows operating system? So if you've got a, you know, Windows 98, you better be, you know, real careful about what you try and plug into that old computer if the drivers aren't compatible with that old operating system. Windows 7 and on, Windows 7 got everything built in. You know, there's very little that you can plug in or connect that it won't recognize. The last one is, I didn't mention another one called component inputs. Component inputs are red, green, and blue. What they are, and this was a fairly common connection, even on the back of many TVs, that gives you high definition in, but it had, instead of in one cable, it split them out. It's still analog, it's not digital, so CRTs even had these. But again, you need a card or some sort of adapter that from your TV that will convert it. But in order of quality, this is number two. Number one is HDMI. It's digital, all digital. This is analog, but since they split it out, very high quality analog, and you can get 720p out of the TV. So good quality, but again, not everybody will have something, you know, like that. And then after that, and quality-wise, would be S-Video. So we start with HDMI. We got component going down the scale. Then you got S-video, quality-wise. Then you got the good old RCA jacks. And at the lower end of the scale would be the RF coax, channel 3, channel 4, kind of.
Where does the VGA fit in?
Ah, sorry. VGA would probably be after the, between the S-video and these.
Roy,
yeah.
In your experience, and I know from my experience that there are certain technologies that HDMI blocks copyrighted signals on. Yes. And I'm wondering if anything that you're going to present with us, we would be concerned about that with an HDMI?
For most people, no.
Okay.
Anything you stream off of the internet typically will not have any issue at all with VCMs, with any of that blocking stuff.
And so your recommendation, if I understand right, would be if you want to get the highest quality connection between a computer and a TV, you'd want the HDMI connection.
Yes, exactly. And really, for most, unless you really get into a lot of pirated stuff, you know, first-run movies you got off of a BitTorrent somewhere or something like that, even then, it's probably cut out. You don't have to. So
probably
generally, no, you don't have to worry about blocking,
okay,
that kind of thing. Where you would worry about that is if somehow you got onto a site that had, you know, ABC, NBC's movies or whatever, and they're sending out a signal, even through the internet, mm-hmm, it's possible that you need that in your software. You need to have it recognized that that's okay.
Right.
And not block it coming out. Generally, they'll take off the block. If they're sending it out on the internet, they won't block it. I haven't heard of that happen. So,
okay.
No concern.
I know that in the past there's been issues with, say, for example, hooking a Mac to a projector and using an HDMI to watch a DVD.
Yeah.
And the implication is that you're trying to copy that DVD because the equipment isn't smart enough.
Right,
to tell
right.
the computer what's actually going on.
That's
it's
true.
Just assumed that it's being copied,
yeah,
and so they haven't been able to use a projector like that. And that's an old example from a while back. I don't know if they've cleared up that kind of issue, but I know those kinds of issues arise, and it's good to hear that what you're presenting us with, you would recommend the HDMI because it doesn't,
yes,
that kind,
yes,
of issue doesn't affect,
right,
what we're trying to do.
Right.
That's,
yeah,
good.
And DVDs are perhaps another subject. You know, that I've got a ton of Blu-ray DVDs, and I've had no trouble, you know, playing those on my computer DVD player,
through the
Blu-ray
HDMI.
Player, through the HDMI out. No trouble whatsoever. So
the only other thing with HDMI, you had mentioned that it comes with audio.
Yes.
Is that's dependent really on the computer, isn't it? Whether it goes ahead and supports audio through the HDMI. It's also dependent on the monitor, whether it wants to accept the audio through the HDMI.
I've never heard of a TV that wouldn't, but it's possible.
Yeah.
As far as the computer side, if that HDMI is built in, if it's part, mm-hmm, of it, like on a laptop or the motherboard of a desktop, if it's built in, it'll stream the audio.
So the only point that I would want to make is that if it didn't, you could always just put an audio cable right alongside.
Oh,
it.
Of course.
Yeah.
And many times, who wants the sound out of those tinny TV speakers anyway? If that's all you got, those little bat, maybe they're facing the wall behind the TV. There's all kinds of people want, hey, I got a sound bar, or I've got a tuner amp stereo system that has a subwoofer, and I can blow the walls off.
Wow, what
you know.
good note for now, for sometime in the future, unless you want to briefly mention a sound bar. I bet there's people here that don't know what a sound bar is.
Oh, sorry, yeah. And no problem. A sound bar is just...
Go to the sound bar, though. Yep. So, now I have a Mac, so it's different,
okay,
and it doesn't all have right. an HDMI on it. But when I plug in the audio cable into my Mac and then into the TV,
If the connectors, right, if they match up.
They
okay.
do.
Okay, yeah.
But then I could also do that to external speakers somehow. That
oh, yeah.
Yes, okay.
And that's where the soundbar came.
Okay.
Because
so
it's just a soundbar is it's external speakers in a format that's called a bar, and it's maybe 4 foot long, and, you know, maybe that big around, depending. And it's nice because it'll mount right under, if your flat screen is on a wall, a sound bar will mount right under it against the wall or even hanging from the TV. Well, it depends on the sound bar.
From my laptop to the sound bar to the TV?
Yeah, it depends on the sound bar. If the sound bar only has very simple inputs like that, then you're going to want to run your HDMI from your computer laptop directly to the TV for the picture, and then run a separate set over to the soundbar for the audio.
Okay.
And that's the same concept if you have a tuner or a stereo system of some kind. Same thing. You'd have to run your audio over one way and your video directly to your TV. And the caveat is, well, maybe my soundbar has an HDMI loop through. Mine does. I've got one that you just run the HDMI right to the soundbar, has audio and video in it. It passes the video through, and you run another cable from there over to your TV.
So you say you've
got the best of both worlds.
You actually chain it.
Yeah, it's a loop through. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I chain it through. And it picks out the audio, so you got better sound. And even then, depending on your soundbar, I've got it goes off to a subwoofer. My soundbar system, it's a Sony, and it actually has a subwoofer along with the regular soundbar speaker, which contain left, right, and center. So you got a pretty darn good audio system, plus the high, you know, obviously the HD signal going to your TV. Now, many tuners now have, you know, the old big tuners. Oh, they got six inputs for HDMI now. So you can run, if you have one of those, and want the best sound along with the video, you just pump your HDMI out for up to six of them, and four, two, four, whatever it is, and then your tuner takes care of all of that. It'll pass on the video to your TV, plus it'll do whatever sound you want out of the thing. So there's a lot of options there. Okay, moving on here. Oh, one more. I didn't bring an example, but you've probably all seen them. Those little optical cables.
Oh, another example of an audio connection.
It's for audio only, but it's digital audio. Unlike the old, you know, the red and white and the old thing here, they're just little bitty, tiny connectors, but they're optical. Most new TV flat screens have an optical audio input. Now, again, it might be kind of wasted if you use their tiny little speakers to produce that audio. But it's there. And most new computers, and I don't know so much about laptops, but desktops will have an audio, that little optical thing. You'll see a little door. It's kind of like a flap. And it looks like there's nothing there. But when you poke that little audio cable into it, the door will go back in, and that little thing will kind of snap in. And that's for audio only, but it's very high quality, 7.1 whatever is produced by your family. Again, we're talking mostly out of your computer here. And of course, you have to have the capability within that computer, within the operating system and all the software to produce the audio. But if it has the optical port on it built in, then more than likely the operating system comes with a sound setup that will easily do that optical output. Okay. Now, so far we've talked only cables, but there are a ton of adapters that if you can't match one format to another, whatever you've got on your computer versus what's on the back of your TV, there'll be an adapter that might do it. One example, dig into my collection here. I mean, here's one example right here. It looks simple. All this is a VGA, standard VGA coming out of a typical computer or older laptops, and newer ones don't have them. And it goes to a DVI. That's just an example. It can be VGA to not HDMI, at least not without power, because HDMI is totally digital, whereas a DVI was analog. So it can take the VGA signal and plug in, you know, if you've got a DVI on the back of your computer and you've got a VGA in your monitor, there you go. You just hook up the two cables, plug this into your computer, and you've got the adapter to make the change. They come, and when you go to that fvideo.com, they'll have pictures of you, and they'll show you exactly. So you can look at the back of your TV and look at the back of your computer, and they have a nice picture side by side that you can see what you need. And then click on it, and you can, I think they even now sell the cables at that site. There's no limit to what they can do. By making a powered adapter, in other words, you'll have a little power pack you plug into the wall, they can convert between anything. And I mean literally anything. You want to go from a VGA to an HDMI? No problem. They'll do it. You know, it's just a matter of what you need to do to get that signal out of there to your TV. No limit to the electrical adapters they have. All right. Oh, I didn't see it. Here's a standard HDMI cable. Now, this is a very short one. Typically, they'll come with 6-foot length, but you can get them almost any length. I've got one 50 foot. It's digital, not analog. If it was analog, it probably wouldn't work. But it's digital, so if anything gets through at all, it'll be good. It's either there, kind of digital, kind of either it's there or it's not there kind of thing. But that's for short, you know, if you got two pieces, if your computer's, you know, sitting right under your TV, whatever, that's an option. But that's what an HDMI cable looks like.
Is there an extension for that? Like, if you had one like that long and you wanted to add 6 feet to it?
You can get extenders, yes. But if you're going to buy the extender, why not just buy a longer cable?
Well, I've got a VGA cable that's only 5 or 6 feet long.
Okay.
And my computer is 10 feet away from that.
Right. Okay.
So what I need is a
VGA extender.
VGA, male to female.
Yes, right. Yes, they have those as well. Yes, they do. But again, that's analog, so you've got to be careful on the length. It's got to be a better quality, or I should say maybe a larger gauge wire.
The longer it is,
the bigger wire you need to keep the same signal, because again, it's analog, so it'll tend to degrade quicker, easier than a digital signal would. But yeah.
What's the maximum that you can do that?
VGA?
Yeah, because my
No. I was going to say 15 feet. It'll start to degrade pretty fast. It may be there, but you'll see artifacts and weird stuff. So now they do have boosters. Again, something you got to plug into the wall that will boost the signal up, or they got converters. In other words, you take the VG here, go into a box, into maybe an RF signal. As long as we're there, we're about ready to jump into that anyway. Yeah.
The HDMI connector, I just did a quick Google search on it, and it looks like 50 to 100 feet is okay with HDMI. And that's what I would expect from a digital connection.
Yeah, digital. Yeah.
The VGA, what Roy's saying about analog is very true. You have signal degradation, over distance.
Another option, I just happened to throw this in.
Oh, and if I could mention on Gary's point, you can go to JG's computers, or even I've seen them hanging at Walmart, extender cables for VGA, and they'll sell them in like 6 foot, 3 foot, 6 foot, 10 foot. Well, I'm sorry, we're in Mexico. Meter equivalents to those sizes. And that's a pretty good, I mean, I don't know what the range is, but I know I've used those sizes before without any real problems. You add one of those to your monitor's natural cable, and that I would consider that to be still a good signal. Anything beyond that, you might start having problems.
Now, if you have HDMI, but you really want to make it longer than 50 or 100 feet, there's an option right here. It's got HDMI on each end. So this will go into, let's say, your TV. This will go into your computer.
Or whatever, wow, look at that.
Device you have. And then, rather than an HDMI cable between them, you've got standard Ethernet cable. Two. You need two. Because of the HDMI requirements. You can't do it with a standard one. So what you do, you just you can make them 300 foot long. And plug those in. And so you can really stretch this out. So there's, again,
typical Ethernet
module, then there wouldn't be any, you'd even go further. But this is just,
typical Ethernet cable can go 90 to 100 meters. So that's radiant. Like you said, 300 feet. Yeah. That's just ridiculous. but the Ethernet cable is what we use for cabled networks. We've talked about it in club in the past. But if anybody needs a quick comparison, if you're connected to Telmex's DSL modem, the Infinitum, that would be the yellow cable that connects your computer to the. That's an Ethernet cable, and that cable can get as high as 300 feet in length.
Okay, here's another option if you don't want to use cables. Let's say your computer is nowhere near your TV, and you don't want to string wire down the hall and under the door and whatever. A simple little SIMD receive set. It's RF. So there's no cables between the two. You just got to connect one to your source, which could be your TV, and I'm sorry, your PC, and then one to your receiving unit, which would be the TV. And it'll send between the two. Now, this input is only the RCA.
Have you come across ones that accept an HDMI?
Yes, I've got one.
I'm
getting
it. Okay, all right, go on.
But yes, this is a simple one. Now, they're not super cheap. This one costs probably $40 to $60.
What's the range?
Pardon?
What's the range of them?
It's RF. It's radio frequency.
Right, it's RF, and because of the block and brick construction that's typical in Mexico, RF signals are sucked down, as you know, with laptops and Wi-Fi real quick.
It suffers from the same problems as Wi-Fi, as your cordless phones do. You can think of those. It's better if it's line of sight.
Critical. I mean, it depends. I mean, you don't know until you try it if you go around corners and stuff. But it might get through one wall just fine. Two concrete brick walls, with solid doors. You might be pushing it. Yes.
The ones you have in your hand, are you familiar with the frequency range they use?
This is 2.4, I think.
Okay, that's what I figured, too. Typical. And so that's another thing to keep in mind with these kinds of devices is 2.4 is what's shared on Wi-Fi. It's shared with the old cordless phones. It's used all over the place. It's shared with Bluetooth as well. And so if you were to go looking for one of these devices, I would go out of my way to try and find one outside the 2.4 range.
Or at least, like on this one, it has four channels. Mm-hmm. So if I have this happen often, my landlady's portable phone, every once in a while, it'll kick in and this will start to blitz on me. So I'll have to change the channel to find a clearer channel, and it's got to sync up on both ends, of course. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and just a little flick, kind of annoying, will roll through it. So these are low-end, but they may work if you've got that kind of connection. Now, if you don't have that kind of connection, here's a system that I use. This is made by ASUS. It's an HDMI transmitter receiver. So you've got one HDMI input on this end from whatever, computer, DVD player, FTA receiver, whatever you got, you want to put on a TV that's in the other room or across the room even. You don't want to string, depending on your setup, you don't want to string that cable across the room. This will do HD. But only 720. It's an older one. So if you really want the high-end 1080 I or P, you've got to go up another notch. But this is an excellent device. I've had no trouble with up to about 35 feet through a hall, but it's not line of sight.
And again, these are wireless devices that are not dependent on your wireless network. They're a separate wireless network.
They're also powered.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I didn't bring the little power thing. But, yes, each end has to have a power thing. And you know, this is designed to either, it's got a little strip here. I've never used it, but it's a packing strip that I could, you know, stick the back of the TV, side of the TV. Or if I had a longer cable, I could run it out to make a better, you know, experiment to get a better picture, which is what I do. I don't just sit on the back of the TV and block it, you know, hoping it'll get through. I'll get a long 10-foot cable maybe and run it around where it is so I can get a better picture.
Like the old days when you went up on the roof.
Exactly. So that's another option, and they come in 1080p now, and they're not real cheap, but again, you know, if you have the need, there's a solution.
Did you say that was from Asus?
This is Asus. It's called YCast.
YCast.
Yeah.
That's quite helpful.
Sorry?
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Is that kind of stuff available at Walmart?
No. Typically, you won't get these at a Walmart.
There's a computer.
At least not here, on here, for sure.
What about the computer store?
No, typically something like this is a higher-end electronics kind of thing, and that would be the Best Buys. And,
All right, quick footnote. That's Y as in W-I.
Yes, Y-Cast, W-I-Cast. Okay.
Like Wi-Fi, Y-Cast.
Now, to throw in along with that, let's say you have a computer output, you have a DVD output, you might have a satellite receiver output, HDMI, and you only got one or two inputs to your TV. How do you handle all that? Plug in and unplug and lock? Okay. Or you can get something like this. This is a six input HDMI switch. Well, I mean, it's powered, of course. I don't have the power down there, but it's powered, and you have up to six inputs and one output. Cool. All right? It's even got a little remote control. So it's a remote control. You don't have to get up and punch a button to get the switch. You won't find any, at least I haven't seen any more than 6 in. Unless you go to big industrial, and I'm talking about, you know, 5 grand units. This is about it. 6 in, 1 out. This is another HDMI gadget called a splitter. Okay? 1 in, 2 out. In case you got 2 TVs. You want them running both at the same time with the same signal. Okay? I could put the YCast unit on the output of one, send it to the one out on the patio, or the den, or the rec room, or wherever, and the other one in the living room. It's a splitter. But you can't, on HDMI, since it's digital, you can't just tap in manually do it. You gotta have electronics. You gotta have power. So that's why it's not just a simple little,
Splicing cables.
Right, no splicing in HDMI. Just like Ethernet.
They need to all be smart devices because it's a digital signal. So it needs to be able to route the information. It's all ones and zeros. So you need a computer on both ends to make sense of it.
Okay, we've gone over that. We've gone over the wireless. Okay, next step in this little process, maybe you want to do away with your computer entirely. Why are we using the computer, which could be big and clunky, and you don't want it sitting in that nice home entertainment center you got. It's in the den or garage or wherever. And you got to do all this RF stuff and to get to your computer. Yeah. Man, what's all that about? Well, you've all heard, perhaps, of Roku. Roku. R-O-K-U. Here's a Roku. This will replace your computer. Right there. You don't need a computer. All you need is an internet connection. We're talking streaming here. We're talking Netflix. We're talking Hulu. We're talking a gazillion channels on the internet. Bypasses your computer totally for anywhere between $40 and $100, depending on the model you want. Everything's in here. And look at the back on the connections. It's got everything. The older CRTs, red. It's got the yellow, red, white. It's got HDMI. It's got an optical cable. And this one, they don't make it anymore. This is the second generation, and now up to the third, has a little connection where I can do components. Out. And they're even smaller now. This is big. The boxes are really tiny. Yeah, yeah. Or you can use all the outputs at the same time. If your connections match up, you can put HDMI on one screen, and then if you had an older CRT with the old RCA, you could run that out to it at the same time. But yeah, in fact, that's the way I am set up. I can go through my YCAST out of here and transmit anywhere in the house that has a receiver for the YCAST, yeah.
Can you explain how a
Roku works?
I have
one. Oh, my God. You're not going to do it. You have all
one. So give it to me.
I
figure it out.
Okay.
If you got multiple DVDs, you buy more than one, and they're wireless.
Yeah. Yeah, they connect to your network to get the streaming off the internet, either through a cable, a network cable, or Wi-Fi is in here. So you don't need to have if your router is some distance away in another room, and you don't want to run a cable to it, it'll connect, if you can get the signal, through the wall, it'll connect Wi-Fi as well.
Now, without the computer, how do you navigate your way through the channels?
There's a little remote control.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Doesn't.
Yeah. Remote control.
The new Roku actually has remote audio, doesn't it? Where you can plug in a pair of headsets into the remote control, so you can watch your
neat.
TV. Yeah, it's very cool. That alone, I've thought about getting a new Roku.
I know that's the generation 3, they call it. They just came out. And it's kind of neat. The remote is motion sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a Wii, you wave this thing in the air to play games and all that.
Oh.
Yeah, their new remote control, you just kind of, I have no use for it. That is distracting as hell. even playing, the Rokus came with Angry Birds. When it first came out. So I played that on a tablet, and I was swiping around, it's cool. But I tried to get used to playing Angry Birds with that motion, waving this thing in the air, and it was just so non-intuitive.
I'm older. Is this legal?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, everything on here is
legal.
Well, I shouldn't say everything, but everything that's normally available through this, through the Roku system, and that includes Netflix, Hulu, Amazon.
Okay, but we haven't gotten to a topic of bringing those services to us here in Mexico yet.
Right.
We're talking about all the equipment, consumer electronics that are available to you right now at your local store in the United States.
Okay. So.
So we still need to get to the topic of bringing those services here.
Yeah. Again, this thing connects to the internet, just like your computer does.
Right.
And yes, it's connected to your router or your modem. Usually, I'm not getting the differences, but it's a router usually that you're connecting to, not a modem. But that goes into here. It automatically detects an internet address. So this is just another PC. This is a PC, really. But you don't have a keyboard. You've got a remote control. You can navigate on the menu. And what it does. Once you connect this, Roku provides a gateway. They have all of these services available. That includes Netflix. Hulu's on there.
And is the USA here?
Pardon?
Is that the USA?
No, we'll get to that in a minute. No, this is just a dumb, in that sense, it's a network device.
Okay.
It's like your computer.
So you pay for that access to Roku.
Where if it's a premium service, yeah, like Netflix, charge you $8 a month, and you get their service. And we'll, again, there's a difference here in Mexico, obviously. I'll get to that here in a second. But everything, there's a zillion channels on there that you don't need to worry about being in Mexico. They're free. News. Yeah. Movies are free. Crackle is on there. You dial up the Crackle channel and you get free movies. You'll watch an ad once in a while. It's not ad free. They got to pay for it somehow. So they have ads.
Okay? You get sports?
Yes.
Okay.
Not live.
Okay.
Not NFL Sunday won't be coming free through that this. But,
but you can get stuff like that if you pay.
Yes. Yeah. You can. You can get NFL. You can go onto the NFL site and pay a subscription for a mobile connection. And yeah, then you can go. Yeah, this is just a gateway kind of device that gives you access to premium, you got to pay for services, as well as a ton of free services. And there's local TV channels. Thousands of cities are available free. In this service, now, they aren't always live, they aren't always on 24/7, but you can go to Peoria and get a local station in Peoria. And get the local news, weather, you know. It won't be full network stuff. Don't expect to get CBS free live through this, unless you pay for it. It won't happen. Okay. But, I mean, there's other brands. Apple has what's called Apple TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a small little box, same thing.
Much more limited.
Yeah, much.
Much more limited, and you have to really buy into the Apple ecosystem to take full advantage of it.
And that's, again, this replaces the computer. It really does. You don't connections, you don't have to buy adapter cards and adapter cables. This has got everything. Now, they have different models. So be sure you check on the outputs available. You know, match up what you got on your TV. This is the older do everything model. The newer ones may not have this RCA. So if you're stuck with an old CRT that has RCA on it, you know, it may not. You know, make sure you have what you need, or at least get a converter for it.
I think you're still going to need your PC to get the premium service to type in your.
We're talking about a VPN.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. We'll get to that. You're right. This has nothing. It doesn't know where you're at. If you're half. Excuse me. If you're happy. You can get Mexico Netflix. Yeah.
Scott just mentioned it's Apple TV. Is there, for people that are kind of all Apple, is there any advantage to Apple TV versus the Roku or the Twitch?
Simplicity. It's a very simple device. It integrates nicely into your Apple ecosystem. Like the programming that you've bought through iTunes is available on your Apple TV. The pictures and videos, music that you have existing on your laptop is easily shared over to the Apple TV, so you can bring that content to wherever the Apple TV is connected. Okay. Yeah, all honesty, let's think about what kind of users we are of this kind of technology, and there's a good chance that you may be the kind of fellow that is only concerned about Netflix. That may be just all you want to bring. Well, if that's the case and you're an all-Apple house, the Apple TV makes a lot of sense. It's very straightforward. That service is available on it. There are other services available on it that you might take advantage of. The Roku is a very open device. You would buy a Roku because you're slightly thinking about, I mean, a little bit of a hacker mentality. Like you want to be ready to put whatever becomes possible on something. And that's not necessarily going to happen on an Apple TV. The only thing on an Apple TV is what Apple is authorized and anointed.
Yeah,
Getting back to the Mexico Netflix, yeah, you can. Even if you don't have a Mexico card, credit card. I had a friend tell me the other night that he tried the Mexico Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a VPN. You don't need to mask your IP. Oh, thank you very much. You don't need any of that folly rot with your computer. If you got a Netflix that can handle the Mexico IP address, then you can get it. I think it's the same price, $8 a month. Their selection, however, is not the same as the U.S. Netflix. It isn't the same. There are a few English movies and channels, news, but, you know, it's limited. So if you're, you know, but if you really don't want to bother with this, and I'll jump in. How much time, brother?
You've got about 20 more minutes,
and
we've mentioned VPNs many times in the past in the club, and so if you're not able to hit all the topics you want to, we've had long discussions on VPNs and TV. So if you haven't been here, I've got all that on the website, and they are tagged, so you can go looking specifically for VPN conversations on our website, and you can hear more information about how they work.
Okay.
Now, but go ahead. The floor is yours,
Roy. All right. All right. But again, getting back to the Roku, when you log into it, or when you open it up and get the menu, they got the store. It's called the store. Just like, you know, the Apple store, or the Google store, whatever you want to call it. And you've got a favorites list. And you can go into the store and just start clicking away at whatever channels you want to go onto your favorites list. That's when, so when you first turn it on, you always come to your favorites list. And there it'll be. You can just click on Netflix and bingo. Once you signed up, registered, whatever you need to do for your Netflix account, there it is. Everything's there. It will stream to whatever quality you've selected. If it's an HD movie, it'll stream in HD. If you're not in the far end of the Ranchitos on DSL, it'll stream HD. So it is dependent. Any of this streaming stuff, you know, you really need at least 1 megabit. And that won't get you full HD. Typically, 1 megabit won't do it. You need 2 will do it. If you can get a real 2. Just because the service is 2, doesn't mean you're getting a real 2 out of it.
It might take a moment just quickly. Telmex's DSLs, they advertise 1 megabit, 2 megabit. What that really means, 2 megabit really means a guaranteed 1 megabit with a potential of 2. Telmex is 1 megabit though. Is half a megabit with a potential of 1. That's quite literally how it works. They use a doubling technology. They call it a doubling technology. What it really is you're on your own. Hopefully you can get that much. Yeah. The other thing that I want to reemphasize as far as internet service here in town, Mega Cable is the recommendation now. There is no way to get faster internet than Mega Cable here in town, and unfortunately it's not everywhere. So you may not have the choice, but if you're looking to do this stuff and you want to have a guarantee of quality and options, Mega Cable is the one you're going to need for internet.
If you have underground utilities, you can get it.
That's right. If you're in a gated community, you may not be able to get it. If you're out in the Ranchitos with me, you may not be able to get it.
How
but
does Telmex get?
Telmex has... Well, it's got diminishing returns on the cost, because you can get up to 6 megabits, a potential of 6, which means guaranteed 3, and that's about $100 a month.
Yeah, Mega Cable is the ideal way to go.
Mega Cable has the best pricing, and they've got the best technology. What they have, though, is lousy customer support.
On Mega Cable, if you have more than one TV, do they run a splitter, or do they run two lines, or how does that
work? No, you got a router. When you connect up, you have their modem, maybe, and they do have router. Modem and a router is two different things. Let's talk router. You have a router, whether it's yours or theirs. You plug in, and it has 4 ports, and it has wireless.
Let's separate the conversation from cable TV and cable internet, because those are two completely different areas. So you can go to Mega Cable, and you can buy a package of TV, telephone, and internet. But because our community is what it is, they've offered us for a long time now just an internet package. And, they, and it's reasonably priced. It's about twice the performance for about the same price as Telnet.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question.
Yeah, what about the other
package? I'm sorry?
What about the TV package?
Oh, the TV, it seems like TV, telephone, and internet runs about
599
pesos. I pay 600 pesos a month,
and I just got the TV because of the direct problem. I got the TV, and I've got the internet. I don't have the telephone,
because I don't want to get. And that's about 600
pesos? But I have high-powered internet.
You have the 10 megabits
got
a second.
That's 600. So it's 200 pesos more to add to television.
Oh, that's a good way to think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
You can cut it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, and Mega Cables, yeah, the way their contracts work is they have you sign up for 3 months, and then you can turn it off when you want. So if you guys are thinking about
and then
this stuff.
Turn it back on and
yeah.
Charge you.
They won't.
$100
Yeah.
It's very reasonable.
It's the 3 month wait. That, I mean, if you're thinking about doing this and you're looking at, well, I'm going back soon, then it may be something you want to do when you come back next season.
Yeah.
Okay. Roku. Any more questions about the Roku stuff?
Yeah.
Do
you know if they have a connection to iTunes? If you have an iTunes
account? I don't know of any connection through Roku to iTunes.
Yeah, actually, I can't think of any connection to iTunes that is an Apple
yeah.
here.
Other than Apple, yeah.
It's, yeah.
I just think I've got a Netflix tattoo that goes through
on iTunes. Well, yeah, now, if you've got those two accounts, you won't need to run them through iTunes. Right. You could run them through your Roku because they are separate mm-hmm. services.
Yeah. So you still could get the Roku and just use your existing account number. They'll hook you up right away. But now we're talking, now we're getting into, okay, what do we do about this? And I won't get heavily into VPNs, but obviously if you want the premium channels, Hulu.
I'm sorry, Rick. Yep. Do you mean that you're using an Apple device, like you're using an iPad or Apple TV? Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. So it may feel like they're coming through Apple, but they aren't. They're actually independent services. Oh, that's interesting.
But so you don't have an account directly. Can you go on with your computer and log into Netflix directly? Then it would work through the Roku.
That's the benchmark.
Yeah. Okay. Again, VPNs, if you want to get to the U.S. Netflix, Hulu Plus, Amazon, the Pandora, in other words, the premium services, which do not allow out-of-region IP addresses. That's just what they do. So you have to either mask it some way, a VPN. Again, I'm going to go into a lot of detail, but there's two ways now, and the newer one is perhaps more accommodating to people that need to mask their IP address. A VPN goes through your computer, typically. Typical VPN comes through your computer. You can't hook it up to your Roku. It there's no way to go in and set up a VPN in the Roku, and many other, even a smart TV even may not have a way to doesn't have a way to set up
more,
a VPN.
More than likely.
So there's a new thing now called DNS redirection. It's what they do is they give you DNS is domain name servers or service, whatever. Whenever you type in www.google.com, it doesn't go directly to Google. Google doesn't recognize those words. It goes to a service or a server called a domain name server. It converts that www whatever into an IP address. The IP address is machine language. Google knows to recognize and they get a request on that number, but not www.google.
Ray, if I may, the analogy to DNS is a telephone book. Basically, it's a place that the computer goes to look up a name address and find the corresponding number address. So you don't have to remember numbers, you just remember names.
Yeah. That's what a DNS is. Now, how do we use that to do a VPN? Well, what happens is you get a service and you pay them $5 a month or whatever the charge is, they send you a special domain name server IP address. You put that address in your router is the best place. If the router will let you, most of them will, even Telmex. I haven't seen a mega cable router per se yet, but normally you can get in and you can put in their, from their standard domain name server, which is theirs, you just take theirs out, put yours in, that one you paid for. So whenever you go to put in www whatever, it goes to this special domain name server, which then masks your IP address and sends a request on to Netflix. It's pretty slick, actually. And that means you can, you don't have to have the computer to run your Roku through a VPN. It eliminates that, because in most, even in smart TVs, you can, most of them will have, the newer ones will have places you can put in the DNS.
But Roy, are you saying that you don't need a VPN?
No.
Now, I'm not understanding how that works.
Okay, domain, in other words, any request coming through your computer goes to their DNS physical server at this service you pay for.
But that DNS actually replies back to your computer with the physical address of the service you're going to go use.
No, not in this case. They, that's the difference. It simply acts like a proxy.
Oh, okay, a proxy.
That's what it's acting like, but because it isn't a proxy that you put in your computer. Because if you had a proxy in your PC, it wouldn't do your Roku a bit of good.
But are you saying that this service that you would buy, it would grab your traffic? Like it would send everything. You back an IP that goes to them, and then they reroute your traffic to where you're using it. So it is a proxy. It is a proxy.
It is like a proxy. Yeah. But it's good because you don't. It's not device specific, like a proxy would be in your computer. It covers everything. So if you can get this into your router, everything you connect goes through their service.
What's an example of one of those services that you could purchase? What?
I got them in here. Yeah.
I guess I'm one of the few people that didn't get a copy of that.
Well, if you got a USB port,
the
file's on there that has this everything. Okay. It's just one file, so you can't miss it.
Do you mind if I post this up on our website as well?
No, it's just public. So no problem.
If you have a website.
Pardon?
If you have a website.
It's on that.
No. I mean you.
Are you making an example?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That has a domain name and so forth.
Yeah.
And you can do that. You're paying a monthly fee.
No, that won't work as a redirection or masking of your IP address. No.
But what you're saying is simply by changing the DNS address, you can invoke a proxy service.
Yes. In essence, that's what it does. I mean,
you're not running a proxy.
Correct.
What you're doing is you're sending off address requests. But I can only imagine this because I've never heard of this before.
Oh, okay.
But I can imagine that what would happen is that you've announced yourself to this service that you bought. It recognizes your traffic. It sends back an IP address that it's in control of, and it makes the requests to the service that you want in your name, and then it gets that information and feeds it back to you. I mean, it's essentially what a proxy does.
Yeah. And there's an overhead for all that. You will lose, just like a VPN. You know, depending on the VPN, you will lose a little. If you're getting a good 5 megabit transfer, you may have 4.5. And you get, in reality, because of the overhead of the VPN server, and in this case of their DNS proxy, I suspect even has more than a good VPN will have, but more loss, I mean, I don't know.
Is that just because of the extra step?
You're going through another step where they have to get it along with hundreds of thousands of other requests, so it slows down. It's another bottleneck, if you will, that you got to go through. But that's typical of all proxies, all VPNs. You know, the better ones you'll have minimal, the worse ones you'll have a lot of slowdown. Yes. Again, what I've got, if anybody else wants it, my presentation with all of the links,
it's
a PDF file are on here. You can gladly copy it if you want.
The website.
The website that's on that on the sheet here is. Oh, you don't have a sheet. Okay.
I'll post Roy's PDF here on our website as well, so it can be downloaded.
So the links will be in, on his site. Now I've got a forum that I've run for 5 years since I've been in Mexico called Tech SOB. It started out as TV SOB, but south of the border. But I changed the name only because everybody thought, well, he only does TV. No, that's not on, you know. I get into a little bit of everything. This streaming thing, free-to-air TV, all of that stuff that I get into. And it's a private forum request, you know, joined by request only. So if anybody wants to, the links are going to be in this document. There, go ahead.
Okay, just a couple of questions from my part. One is, in your experience, do you have a VPN or this DNS redirect? What's your recommendation? What's your favorite? And I think you should qualify it with monthly service versus annual service.
Yes. Okay. VPNs are the favorite subject of mine. I'm heavily into a VPN. And I'm into it so much that I decided I didn't want just one computer or two computers. I wanted anything I could possibly connect to the router to go through a VPN. And I have not, in honesty, I have not tried this DNS service. Fairly new. A guy brought it up. A member of the forum brought it up. And I looked into it, went to the websites, and yeah, it looks real. And it's doable. The tech is understandable. So, nope, I don't see any problem with it. But I want something a little bit different than going through kind of a, who are these guys kind of site. They're new, they're not major, you know, they're not a big entity. So I'll keep what I got. And what I've got in the VPN is called a cloak box. Yeah. It's a VPN, but it's a specially modified router. All it is a router, just like any other router, except they put in a different firmware. Or software, if you will, called DDWRT. It's a free software that allows you to use a VPN right in the router. So what you do is, in this case, I use a site called Whytopia. Whytopia.net, if you want to look them up. They're professional level. They aren't.
WI.
They were geared toward businesses. And when I first got into them, they had business level pricing, but they became fairly popular. Now their pricing is compatible with Strong VPN, Hide My Ass VPN, all those others that are out there. They're competitive, even on a monthly basis.
So that would be one of your recommendations from personal experience?
Personal experience, even if you don't want to go with the cloak box, which is a high-end VPN service, it does unlimited connections.
Right.
There's no caps. There's no monthly speed. There's no speed limits. No caps.
Essentially, nothing. The cloak box is a router you stick in front of your internet connection and put all your computers into it. And now everything that's behind it is going out as though it's in the United States.
Yeah.
Very functional device.
And not
there is overhead. It does slow things down. If you're on Telmex, you might want to explore using it only for your media and continue to use Telmex for everything else. But if you're on cable, there's no reason not to just use it for everything.
And if you have an existing Telmex router, you can have two routers. You can daisy chain them. So you can come in and leave your present connection from your modem, or if you have a modem, Telmex, they're all in one box. So you come into that router, and then you can daisy chain out of that router into your cloak box, which I've done. And so then you got regular connections here with no speed change or drop, and then everything you want to protect with the VPN, you plug it into it. You got them both at the same time.
If I could add an example of why you'd want to do that, is say, for example, you can only get Telmex speed. You've got a Roku box that you want to use Netflix in the United States, but you're also using a Magic Jack or a Vonage for your phone. Then you would want your phone to be connected to your Telmex line so that it doesn't interfere with your VPN that's being used for your Roku so that you can watch Netflix on your TV. You can divide up that capacity. because your capacity is very limited with the Telmex connection. You want to try and tweak as much speed out of it as possible.
Yep.
Regarding VPN, I'm an expert token agent.
Okay.
I have a protocol for the one. There is another company out there called Survive, which I would recommend if you're wanting to invest in one that includes a VPN system, which uses their own software, which is vastly better than UDRP, but it's a huge improvement. As a layperson, it's much easier for me to configure it and to use it. You can still use the services if you want, but usually you would use strong VPN as a wider choice overall. But the main thing is the simplicity. Secondly, Survive has an accelerator. So basically, I have my cable modem and I have my router with the accelerator combined, and I take a mega cable signal of around 14 bits and bang it up to about 27.
Sabai is the name of that service?
Yeah.
How is it spelled?
Sabai Technology.
S-A-B-A-I Technology.
I think I looked into them one time, some time ago. Yeah. Right, yeah. Well, now, as to the accelerator, can't get blood out of a turnip, so they must be doing some sort of compression, because, and that means you have to be going to their computer. As, well, you are anyway as a VPN. Mm-hmm.
They could be doing their own buffering on their end, and they're your main feed.
Yeah.
Feed. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why when, as a kind of a side issue, I bought the cloak box, but the one they provided as a factory default at the time got bogged down. Because when you got a SSL VPN, which is what the cloak box is, it's not a standard PPTP. It has a lot of overhead for number crunching because of the encryption. It's a highly encrypted signal. So that takes overhead of the CPU in the router to go through all of that and then do the VPN thing as well. So I got bogged down with the underpowered CPU in their original model. I went out and bought one that had about a 4-time greater CPU capacity and memory, and then plugged in my own, it's called Tomato, not DDWR King. It's another one of those freebies. I plugged that in, and all of a sudden my performance on the same speed got a lot better because it didn't bog down using a ton of devices, on the VPN. So there's a lot of options on the VPN side, but that DNS is maybe better for many people that don't have a full blown router, connection. That you want to do a VPN on one device only, and don't want to spend the money for a cloak box.
I hate to cut Roy off, but we have run out of time. We're 5 minutes over. I invite him to continue to talk if people are continuing to be interested, but if people are starting to, that's what's happening.
No,
we're shutting down.
You gotta go. Golf is important, so understand.
Yeah.
And you want high debt? You don't want high debt. You don't have to have it. Right. If it's a low-grade SD signal, HDMI has no problem.
Yeah.
Question
for sure.
Do you do a home
fitness?
Yeah, absolutely.
Could I have your...
Sure, yeah, let me give you one of my cards.
Where in Ranchito is that?
I'm out on First and I. My wife and I, we have a place.
I have one too.
Yeah, absolutely.
First on E.
Oh, okay. So you're just down the road.
Yeah.
Well, definitely get a hold of me. But hey, if you're thinking about bringing stuff to the office, get a hold of me first because you're out in the Ranchitos. It'd be easy for me to get it from you than it would be for you to bring it across town.
Everybody, absolutely. You coffee or your meals or anything.
Yeah, please. Tequila's is good for us. They let us have this space and use their internet every Tuesday from 9:15 to 10:15. So please don't walk out of here without paying your bill. Some of you were asked, if not all of you were asked, to donate 5 pesos. This is not money collected by the club for anything more but a propina to Tequilas for serving us and giving us this space. So we'd really appreciate if you leave your 5 pesos around so we can show our appreciation to them for letting us have our meetings here. And anybody that's here that's not here regularly is always welcome to join us regularly. Every Tuesday.
I have a question. I'm very sure to make it. I'm so glad to make it. I don't have your website.
Oh, well, the one that for our club is sccclub.org. sccclub.org. San Carlos Computer Club.org. Okay.
So
you're welcome.
Okay.
So what's the other VPN that everybody
uses? Strong. Strong VPN.
Well, Strong isn't one we've talked about, but that's a one that comes to mind. Hide My Ass.
It's been around for a long time. I think it's even longer than Hide My Ass.
You know, it's too bad Chester's not here, because I think I know the one you're talking about. It's one he used to use, and I can't remember the name of it.
I hooked up to it, but it's not my computer.
Oh, maybe you're thinking of Hotspot Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah. It messed up your computer. It's probably Hotspot Shield.
It is all.
Yeah. What's another going to be?
Well, Whitetopia.
Dilemma.
Got that.
My husband, Y.
No, W.
Okay.
Apple.
All right.
P-O-P-I-A.
So I don't know what would be best.
And then you got Strong VPN. And you
or
got Hide My Ass VPN.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, it's
and
tough to say they're about the same price, but basically the Roku has a more open variety of features, which means that there could be features down the line that you could incorporate in the Roku, whereas the Apple TV is pretty much set with whatever services that Apple wants to give you. So it's just a different direction to come from. The Apple TV is an easy recommendation for people that are interested in one or two specific services because they do them well. Whereas the Roku is good if you're not quite sure how you're going to be using it in the future. And this new Roku is really cool with that remote control that you can plug audio headsets into. That's. Do you have much content invested in your iTunes subscription?
Not much, no. The one thing I do have, though, is that I've a friend in France downloading French movie on my computer. So that would be one way to see them. But on the other hand, I can just watch them on my computer.
Well, and then you might find that that kind of stuff would work best with a computer hooked to your TV set. Yeah, it may not be easily accessible with either the Roku or the Apple TV.
Well,
right now, you guys are the only ones that still have DirecTV.
Yeah.
Everybody that was doing it like that.
Yeah, because we were doing, well, everybody that was doing it privately, us, still has it.
That's right.
And the others, unfortunately, got cut off. That's a shame.
I'm going to sign off now. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions, and we'll look for you next week from 9:15 to 10:15, where we meet at Tequila's Bar and Grill here in San Carlos. Thank you, Roy, for joining us, and thanks for all the great information. We'll try and get as much of this up on our website as possible, and it's got his contact information, so you can contact him directly if you'd like his help with any of this stuff. Thanks a lot.